When China's problems become our problems. From APM, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio. New numbers from China show lower than expected inflation there, raising big picture concerns about the country's overall economic health. Investors are watching the country closely with numbers about its GDP coming in a few days. Andrew Batson is China Research Director at Gavcal Dragonomics. He joins us from Beijing. Nice to have you here, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
So just big picture, how's China's economy doing and what's the impact it's going to have on the U.S. and Europe?
Well, things are not too great right now. You know, different parts of the economy are just running at very different speeds. You know, so depending on where you're looking in the Chinese economy, you would see a very different picture. We've had a pretty severe growth slowdown, particularly in the housing and construction sectors. And we've also started to see over the last a couple months, other parts of the economy weaken. Consumer spending, indicators like auto sales and retail sales have slowed a bit. And also exports have been pretty disappointing. Broadly, it means the domestic story in China is not that strong, and China was hoping for stronger demand for its exports from the U.S. and Europe and hasn't really seen that.
So you mentioned the Chinese consumer. What's on their minds right now? What's driving their decisions?
So you've had very poor company profits. You've had this big slowdown in construction in a lot of industries. And so that means the job market in those sectors is not that strong. You're having wage growth a bit slower than before. With wages not growing as fast, you know, people are not spending as much money.
Andrew Batson with Gavcal Dragonomics. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Delta reports earnings later this morning. Current low fuel prices are helping it and other airlines fly at lower cost. But other expenses help determine what carriers make and how much they charge us to fly. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
The airline industry took it on the chin for at least a decade. Remember when oil was $100 a barrel? Wasn't that long ago? Blaine Nickerson is associate editor for AirlineReporter.com.
Fuel has all of a sudden become their second biggest cost of operating. The first is being their labor, staffing, and benefits.
If airlines are reporting good news for shareholders, it doesn't go unnoticed by labor unions. Delta did announce a base pay increase for many of its employees effective December 1st, but it cut profit sharing. Jeff Johnson is the dean of aeronautics at Lynn University.
Most people that work in the industry just kind of, I hate to say this, they get used to it. Everybody looks forward to bonuses than actual pay raises.
As for the price of your next flight, probably not going down anytime soon, but
when you look at what an airline ticket cost in 1995 versus what an airline ticket costs today, I mean, airfare is incredibly affordable.
And after mergers, we're left with little competition, with just three major airlines operating in the U.S. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Whether it's potholes in your neighborhood or policy around the world, you can get your take to your representatives in Congress by writing them. In the days of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, that meant putting a letter in the mailbox. Nowadays, people send email, of course. That means technology plays a big role in what actually grabs the attention of lawmakers. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams heads to Capitol Hill to show us how it works.
The mail carts that roll through the echoey halls of the Rayburn House office building don't carry much mail. Now it's mostly newspapers. James Pollack is a legislative correspondent in the office of Congresswoman Jackie Speier of California.
It is really cool when you get physical mail, especially they tend to be the cuter mail. So we'll get like a bunch of Girl Scouts writing about bees.
He says the vast majority of people email.
On a really busy week, anywhere between 2,000, 4,000 emails, 80 to 150 calls. The phones, you can't pick them up fast enough.
But on social media, it doesn't take nearly as many people to have a similar impact. That's according to the Congressional Management Foundation. It did a survey that suggested it would take just 30 constituents on social media to draw the attention of congressional staffers. CMF President Bradford Fitch.
Because in this town, if you think about the amount of money that's spent on trying to generate thousands of emails or letters or postcards or protests or things like that. It's huge.
As is the money to be made filtering and sorting that deluge of emails, faxes, and calls. Defense contractor Lockheed Martin provides one such platform called Intranet Quorum. Scott Gray is the vice president for IT and security solutions for the company.
It has about two-thirds of the members within Congress using it currently.
In Congresswoman Spears' office, James Pollock uses the software to sort form letters from unique communication. He says there are certain things that will definitely make it to the Congresswoman's desk.
I think one really well-worded, compelling letter raises a flag.
He says it doesn't really matter if the letter is paper or digital, but with dozens of empty filing cabinets once used for sorting mail now sitting empty, an old-fashioned letter probably will have less competition for his attention. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
To see which comments get the most attention on Capitol Hill, go to marketplace.org. And finally, VW drivers around the world feel guilty when they start the engine in the wake of the company's emission cheating scandal. Some of those drivers are trying to make a few bucks off the whole thing. The website VW Scam offers bumper stickers for angry VW owners. Slogans include future former VW owner and my other car is not a VW. That one is currently sold out. From the studios at Montclair State University today, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.